So we believe in the forgiveness of sin. But one of the things that's always problematic is trying to figure out, well, what are we being saved from? What is a sin that we're being forgiven? And we use that term sin to basically encompass a very complex system of things that can go wrong in our lives. And we call that sin, which is fine. But what I'd like to focus on is just a piece of that sin is within our relationships. So you can think of different levels of sin in some respects. For instance, when you go to Walmart and it's near Christmas and it's crowded there, you got your turn signal on, you're waiting for somebody to pull out so you can pull in, and then somebody just zooms right in there before you can get in there, right? That's a sin against us that's pretty minor, right? You can let those things go and go on. But then there are those mistakes, intentional and unintentional, that cause a lot of harm in our relationships. Some deep wounds can even cause death. And when those types of things happen, it's a whole different story that's hard to forgive. And since those things do happen, and since we have this sin in our world, it can get pretty heavy, and then we can get stuck in these cycles. Because our first temptation when we are wronged is we want to seek revenge. We want to get back or make them hurt like we hurt. And this happens in arguments all the time. And then it spirals downward. We say things that we wouldn't normally say. It escalates. This is the kind of sin that I think Jesus is addressing in our gospel story today. And it's that cycle that Jesus wants to stop. Because that cycle is a power of sin and death that can overtake our lives. But his way is a way that breaks that cycle, gives us healing, gives us hope, relieves us of things that just get in the way. And so that's exciting. So what I'd like to do is just kind of look at what forgiveness does and doesn't do. Because forgiveness is actually one part. You have confession, which is acknowledging what's going on and what it felt like. And then there's forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. And then there is, well, receiving forgiveness. And then there is reconciliation. What do we do next? How do we address this? All right? So we're talking about that forgiveness part. So that forgiveness part, if you look at the back of your bulletin, I've got some notes there, which might be helpful for future references. What forgiveness does not do? Well, it doesn't say that the offense is okay. Sometimes we think that when we forgive, we're saying that it's okay and it, you know, could happen again, but that's not what forgiveness does. It does not pretend it doesn't happen. When something happens, it happens. The door is closed. You can never go back. When you've done something wrong to someone else that you know hurt them, you're vulnerable now. You're stuck. You have a debt. There's nothing you can do or say to get out of it. You've done it. Now what? Or if someone's done it to you, now you've got this hurt. Now you've got this pain. Now you've got the consequences. And there's nothing you can do to reverse that. There's nothing that person can do to reverse it. So you get stuck, right? This is what happens. So we can't pretend that it didn't happen because it did. But the difference is that forgiveness does is it says, I'm not going to seek revenge. I'm not going to seek blame or fault in order to make that other person suffer. It's giving up that justice. It's giving that up and letting God heal. It's like a change of just letting go of wanting to get back and all the anger and the bitterness that kind of grows inside of us, letting go of that. So instead of focusing on punishment, we can focus on, okay, how do we restore? How do we go on? How do we live anew? It's a change using that forgiveness that God gives us. God has already forgiven us. That's no question. And God wants us to confess and receive forgiveness because that's healthy. But we can do it for each other too, but it takes that grace and mercy that God has already given us to be able to do so. And just also In case you were involved in a domestic abuse type situation, there are situations where, you know, the person does something bad, and then they seem so sorrowful, and then you forgive them, and then they do it again, and it cycles, okay? That's not what forgiveness does, and that's not what forgiveness is for. That takes an outside help to stop something like that. Forgiveness does not allow someone else to take advantage of you. And then, remember, forgiveness is a change in spirit, a healing in spirit. It is not reconciliation yet, but it is the pathway towards reconciliation. Forgiveness does require, in our scriptures, to repent, to confess, to name what has gone on, and why you took offense, or why you feel guilty, or vice versa, to know what actually happened, and to be able to name that and talk about it. That's the confession part. And then the forgiveness is the part where I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, now you deal with it, but I'm going to invite back into relationship. I'm going to say, will you forgive me for when I did this? And then that person can say yes, or that person say, no, you need to hear some more, or they're not ready yet, you know, and you work through it. And then you figure out what to do after that. All right? So forgiveness is letting go. It is not taking quick offense. What offends me and what offends you is going to be different. So those are most likely the minor things. And we can work through those pretty easily, or we can be forgiving of those little things. But if it leads to something more, then we need to address it. Forgiving someone else also says that I'm going to suffer the consequences, the pain that you caused me, or when I'm being forgiven, that person's going to suffer the consequences and the pain that it caused them. Forgiveness is saying we're willing to do that for the sake of rebuilding a relationship. But this is the cool part, is as soon as that kind of forgiveness happens and you work something out, it is a huge weight. Just acknowledging it in the first place to the right person is a huge weight taken off of our shoulders, off of our chest. It feels better. It's like exercise, you know? It's hard to get going, but once you do it, you feel so much better afterwards. When we go through that, our spirits are literally changed. We are freed, and we have a new life. Our spirits are healed, and that's exciting. And that brings us to our story, because this is why this woman, who's known sinner in the community, I don't know what her sin was, it never says, but she comes in with an expensive alabaster jar of oil, and she goes to Jesus, and now Jesus is at a table, which is probably only about this tall, and because they didn't sit in chairs underneath tables, that they reclined on pillows next to the table, and so it was easy for her to get around and behind him and start to cry with thanksgiving, with gratefulness, to use that alabaster jar of expensive oil to anoint his feet, which is a very generous thing to do. She's going on like this. And if Pastor Ryan got to write the Bible, he'd be writing this. And the Pharisees thought to themselves, there's something afoot here. But Jesus corrected them and said, no, it's total forgiveness. Thank you, Dean. I forgot the pun at the 8:30 service, so I feel like a heel. But the point is the Pharisees were stuck in thinking about who's a sinner and who isn't. That sin is a contagion, so if just the mere fact that she touches him passes her sin to him. They're stuck in this black and white idea. And Jesus is reminding them that when scriptures say, what's the mark of someone who's forgiven? The mark of someone who's forgiven is someone who's generous, who is so thankful, who is humble with a servant heart, who is on fire with new life. And this is what this woman is doing. I mean, she's come in, she's crying with gratitude, and his feet are getting wet with her tears, and she's wiping them with her hair, and she's anointing his feet. And the Pharisees don't see that as something good. They see that as something bad. And Jesus has got to be scratching his head saying, wait a second, what about the whole book of Samuel where there's the pouring out of water as tears and the repentance which led to their winning in a war? What about the woman Abigail who came to David's feet in gratitude and thankfulness and washed his feet when her husband and others who had bitter hearts who repaid evil for good, they should get what they deserve, but David spares that house. What about these Bible stories, you Pharisees, that show and demonstrate that if someone is at this spot where they are healed, where they are have gratitude, where they are generous, where they are thankful, where they have a servant heart because they're washing his feet, if you see these things, this person is forgiven. That's what scriptures leads us to understand. That's what the prophets are saying. So Jesus is pointing out that her sins are forgiven, because that's the way it is. But they don't see that. And then he says something remarkable. Your faith, basically your trust, is what saves you. The faith, the trust that that this woman is given, and that faith and trust that she places in Jesus and in God, saves her, changes her life. And that power is for you and me. That power is given to us. We are forgiven. We can work through all things. The power of sin and death in our lives is broken right now, right here. That is a tremendous gift. That is why we say in our creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sin. So let's say the creed together. I believe